This show is called The Burrow on until 4 p.m. We're going to start things off this week with The X, Dutch alternative group The X, a song called Mother from the album Starters Alternators, and I will explain why at the other end.
On the hot Sunday, earth you talk. On the infertile soil you spread. Barren land since time immemorial, which bears no fruit, which bears no fruit. With no rain, no clouds in the sky. With no rain, no clouds in the sky. There's
Mother by The X, a long-standing punk slash post-punk slash alternative slash experimental Dutch group. Starters Alternators was the album that track comes from, which came out in 1998. So deep into their career. I believe their debut record came out around 78 or very early 80s. Why did I play the X? Well, you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and this program is called The Burrow. And this week, I'm going to feature an interview that I did with a man named Norman Navrosky, who is currently based and living in Montreal, however, grew up and was raised in Vancouver, and is a founding member of some pivotal rock groups, anarchist cabaret rock groups, notably a group called Rhythm Activism, and then has had many spin-offs from that over the decades. And they were a band closely associated with The X when they first started sonically, and had toured with them, etc. And in my interview with Norman that you will hear in a very shortly, he speaks very highly of the group and just talks about them a little bit. So I thought it would be a nice way to intro that interview. The reason I interviewed Norman was that he got in touch. He is going to be here in Vancouver next, the end of this week, so Friday, February 26th, as well as on March 1st. So he'll be here for a little while. And he's doing some readings, some poetry and some readings from a couple of novels that he's written at Spartacus Books here in Vancouver, as well as doing some improvised violin looping and whatnot. So you'll hear more about that in the interview, and I'll touch on it again later on the other end of it. For now, we're going to hear a song of a new project of Norman's, which is called Wild Plains. And it's a project that he's doing with a classical pianist whose name is José Allard. I feel like I always get trapped into pronouncing French names or words, and I'm so, so terrible at it. Anyhow, these two made a record and called themselves Wild Plains. The album's called Live Improvisations. So everything was recorded off the floor and done completely improvised. And the sounds are a bit all over the place. We're going to hear a track called Lopsidedness from this record, and then jump right into the interview that I did with Norman Navrosky. So stay tuned. Hope you enjoy it. This is The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you.
My name is Norman Nevratsky. I'm talking to you direct from Montreal, where we're snowed in again. 30 feet of snow last night, and everybody's stuck in their houses. Nobody can get out, so the whole city's shut down for another day. All the kids are happy.
It sounds rough, okay.
Actually, it's melting slowly. It's warming up here. It's quite nice. Only minus 10 or something.
Great. Alrighty. My name is Andy Resto, and we're chatting with Norman, and help me on the pronunciation, Nevratsky, is that what you said? Nevratsky?
Hey, you got it.
Nevratsky, okay. Great. And you are in Montreal and going to be across here on the other side of the country in Vancouver in about a week and a half or so.
That's right. I'll be there on the 26th of February.
Great. Yeah, so next week, next Friday. Do you want to, first of all, just give a quick intro of who you are?
Well, let's see. For 30 years, I've been on the stage all around the world with music, with poetry, with theater. I've had a dozen bands. I guess I've had 60 albums. It just keeps going, and that's what I do. So how I make my living. I write books. I record, release albums. I tour. I teach sometimes. And basically, I have a really exciting life as far as a lot of people are concerned, even though, like, this is how I make my living, but, you know, I'm not up there, but I'm able to travel, I'm able to perform, I'm able to produce, I'm able to create, and that's what keeps me going. And I'm really happy to be back in Vancouver, because that's where I'm from originally, from the East End.
Yeah, you did your studies at SFU, or parts of them, is that true?
I was at Langara, I was at SFU. I didn't make it out to UBC, my friends were there. And, no, Vancouver was home to me for a long, long time, and used to work up in Grouse Mountain, used to freelance for the Georgia Strait, used to work at the Britannia Community Center, used to work for the post office, you know, used to hang out on the beach with my high school friends, get drunk, and fight off the cops who tried to break up our parties.
Do you want to explain what it is you're going to be doing here? You're going to be at... I know Spartacus Books is one of the venues, and I can't recall the other one right now, but did you want
Greyhound
to...
Bookshop downtown.
Right, okay. Great, you want to...
Book in West Pender, 344 West Pender.
Yeah, perfect. Do you want to talk about what you'll be presenting there?
Well, I'm bringing my violin with my sampler looper, so I will be playing the violin, but as well I'll be reading extracts from my newest books. I've got a novel that came out not long ago, now being turned into a film script for a film. It's called Cazzarola. It's about Italy. It's about Roma refugees. It's about anarchists. It's about love. I'll be reading from new unpublished work that is going to be a new novel about the Quebec student strike that was here in 2012 when people wore the red squares. I'll be reading pieces of poetry from my different poetry books that have come out recently. And I'll be talking in between, but most importantly for all you music lovers, I'll be playing my violin, sampling and looping my violin, and as I read.
Awesome. You do have new musical projects, a couple of new ones, one of them involving, well, probably both, but one of them clearly involving the violin, Wild Plains, and then also Crocodile. You want to talk about those two a bit, how they came
sure.
about?
Yeah. Crocodile is an experimental kind of post-rock, post-stoner, post-everything trio, drums, electric bass, electric violin, instrumental music. We actually recorded a soundtrack for a film, which was never shot. The film was supposed to be shot. They asked us to do the soundtrack. We did the soundtrack, but the film was never shot. So it's kind of an unusual little project, but we're really happy with the results. The other project is called Wild Plains Live Improvisations. I work with a classically trained pianist here in Montreal, and I'm not classically trained. I'm a self-taught scratch violinist. And so we started jamming together and produced an album of live recordings off the floor, instrumentals, and that's called Wild Plains Live Improvisations. I'm really, really happy with that because it's something quite different for me. I rarely like do acoustic violin without pedals, without an amplifier, without accessories, but this was pure acoustic, and she comes from a thoroughly classical background, so it's an interesting mix of styles, and somehow it works. The duets all work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've enjoyed that. Has there been any... Yeah, has the process for you differed from what you've done in the past? Like, how easy or difficult has it been to work with someone like that who has a differently trained ear than you would.
Sure. The wonderful thing about it is she's so easy to work with because she's so incredibly talented. I mean, she was a child prodigy. She played with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra when she was 18 years old. She's just amazing on the piano. As soon as she starts playing, I can sink in with her, and we read each other. We listen well to each other. And as a recording project, it's entirely different for me because usually in the past, all the bands I have and work with, we write, compose music together, and then we'll go into a studio and we'll do take after take after take until we get just the right take, whether it's off the floor altogether or whatever, but we've practiced in advance and we know who's playing what, we know the tempo, we know everything, whereas with this violin piano project, it's completely improvised. We have no idea what's going to happen. We sit down in our little studio office, I turn on the Zoom recorder, she starts playing or I start playing, and then the other one just jumps in, and we try to read each other, anticipate each other, have a musical conversation with each other. And as I said, because nothing is rehearsed, it's totally spontaneous off the floor, it's quite an exciting little project because we never know what we're going to come up with. We never know where the music is going to take us. Mm-hmm. And I push her in different directions because I'm not classical. And because she is classical, she forces me into other directions. Right. So it's quite a fascinating, satisfying little collaboration.
How do you feel it's turned out? Like, what is the atmosphere you think came out of it? How would you describe it?
It's a mix of, moody instrumentals that can remind you of, like, East European, mountain people, or wild plains of the United States, or cartoon fun music, accompanying like a Walt Disney film. It's completely different. And we spent an hour on CBC Radio here in Montreal on a show. They had us on for a whole hour, and they played the album. And the comments were, from listeners who phoned in, this takes me on trips away. This takes me to Ireland. This takes me back to Italy. This takes me to, my childhood watching TV cartoons. The album succeeds in taking people away, and I'm happy with that.
Originally, when I had, when I first came across your name, was in connection with rhythm activism, which actually first came through my listening to the Dog-Faced Hermans, and then some members of that group were then involved with rhythm activism. Do you want to talk about that group for a bit?
Activism was formed. We formed that in 1985 here in Montreal, 86. It was a duo originally, a guitar player, an amazing, incredible guitar player, who himself was inspired by Fred Frith, like all the improvisational guitar, electric guitar improvisational geniuses. And he was the equivalent of Fred Frith. And I was playing violin and doing spoken word poetry. We started as a duo. We became a full-scale band. We toured. We released, I lost track, like 15, 16 albums. Started out with DIY cassettes and then got into albums and then got into CDs. We toured the world as a band. We were on G7 Welcoming Committee Records. People called us Cabaret Rock and Roll, the Brecht Weill for the 21st century, the 20th century. They said we were a cross between Fugazi, Tom Waits with the Butcher Knife, and the Dutch group, The X, and the Scottish group, the Dog-Faced Hermans. Right. And the Scottish group, the Dog-Faced Hermans, like Holland's The X, were two of my most favorite bands ever at the time, still are. And eventually, when the Dog-Faced Hermans broke up, their drummer actually joined us. But before that happened, we would tour Europe and the States with The X and the Dog-Faced Hermans as a triple bill, and it was incredibly exciting. Mm-hmm. I guess they were two, well, The X still are, a most amazing band. If people don't know about them, it's called The X, T-H-E, capital E, small x, and the Dog-Faced Hermans were just a phenomenal, legendary band as well. So to be able to tour with both bands was such an honor. And then when the Dog-Faced Hermans broke up, their drummer, Wilf Plum, actually joined Rhythm Activism, and then we had, like, the greatest drummer in the world with us. So we ended up on G7 Welcoming Committee Records, and just for 15 years, I think we toured the world and put out albums.
Yeah, the X is also very similar in that they continue to experiment. Started off as a very like almost straightforward punk group, and then really developed their sound, and are still doing various projects like Philly Amatza and other things like that.
They're still as innovative, creative as ever, and that's such an inspiration. And after like 25 years, 30 years, they keep going, and they come up with new directions, new ways of performing, and countless projects. They have countless side projects. All of them are involved in countless side projects too.
What is it that keeps you going in music? What is it that you look for, or when you're playing something? What is it that
pleasure? The pleasure of playing, the pleasure that music gives me. I started playing violin as a kid, like when I was in Vancouver, taking violin lessons from a teacher on Granville Street, back when Granville Street used to have music teachers, you know, in little studios, and studios were cheap on Granville once upon a time. I started as a kid, and it was like, it was so hard because I was scraping and scratching, and my mom and dad were trying to be encouraging, and I was just like, man, this sucks. Later on, I was so grateful for those initial lessons as a kid, because that's what enabled me to continue later in life with the violin and to realize that it was a source of incredible pleasure, solitary, but most important, you know, communal, when I play with other people. When you play with others, the pleasure is multiplied manyfold. And when you perform in front of many people, again, the pleasure is multiplied. So music feeds me, feeds my soul, feeds a part of my soul nothing else can feed. It allows me to express myself in a way that, you know, writing or doing theater can't. Music is just, it's a part of my body, it's a part of my internal mechanisms, it's part of my metabolism. You know, it comes, it ebbs, it rises, it flows, it, you know, I'm, every day I play and every day I create with music. That's not a problem. I just enjoy coming up with new material, and especially with other people and people I've never played with before. So I get so much pleasure. That's what keeps me going. It's so rewarding.
Great. You've also done a lot of writing and have, I guess, a publishing company of sorts. Is that correct?
Yes.
Again, I don't speak French, but Le Page Noir. Do you want to talk about how that came about and what it is? Is there anything you're putting out outside of your own works through that?
No. Les Pages Noires started out as the publishing arm for Rhythm Activism, the band. It was our record label. And as a record label, it was all DIY, do-it-yourself. And we started out by putting out our own cassettes once upon a time back in the 80s when cassettes were considered quite revolutionary, as they are again today, so many years later. So by putting out our own cassettes, by copying by hand, real-time, our own cassettes, making our own booklets, our own labels, mailing them out ourselves, doing everything ourselves, that was Les Pages Noires to begin with. And then Les Pages Noires eventually became like a distribution arm of that and the production arm of that, putting on shows. And then eventually when I started writing books, it's like, okay, if nobody else wanted to publish those books, I would publish them myself.
Rocket from Russia and CITR presents Resolve Records Launch Party March 12th at the Media Club. Local record label Resolve Records launched their new website on the internet. It is magical. You can order vinyl records on this website. To celebrate that, we invited five awesome local bands to play a show. Contra Code, Ubik Idiot, The Greatest Sons, The Bins, and The Expectants, who are kinda all the way from Australia. It is gonna be a killer night. I think the great success is inevitable. March 12th at the Media Club, $10 to get in and enjoy great local punk rock music.
Thank you. Slow down. You're not in a race. Alcohol-related deaths are one of the leading preventable causes of death in Canada. Please remember to drink responsibly.
You're listening to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. My name's Andy Resto, and if you've been tuned in, you've been listening to an interview that I did with Norman Navrosky, originally a pioneering musician and founder of the group Rhythm Activism from Montreal, and now is an accomplished writer and a musician of all sorts. We're going to hear the rest of the interview in a bit, about five and a half minutes left or so. Before we get into that, going to play a track from the other project that he is, musical project that Norman is currently involved with. So earlier on in the show, we heard Wild Plains, which is his partnership, his duo with José Allard, also from Montreal, and a classical pianist. And it's an improvisational album that they put together. And it's very good. It's really a lot of different kind of sounds to be produced just from a piano and a violin live is quite... it's quite an impressive record and a very enjoyable listen. So I would suggest checking that out. It's Wild Plains. The other project is a group called Crocodile that originally they had started and wrote this record to be the soundtrack to a film called Yoma, Y-O-M-A. But as you heard him mention, the film was actually never shot and never made. So they have this soundtrack for it, for a film that doesn't exist. And so the album now must stand on its own. We're going to listen to the theme from Yoma. So the opening to this non-existent soundtrack here on The Burrow, CITR 101.9 FM. And after that's finished, we're going to hear the rest of my interview with Norman Navrosky.
Thank you.
horrible films where like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah. All right.
Good.
So it might be the apocalypse, but yes, we are okay.
Apocalypse. We did a song called Apocalypso, which is about all the wars in the Middle East looking for oil, and it was actually quite a poppy little French number. But anyway, so we were talking about Les Pages Noires.
Yes.
Yeah. Who knows? Do you have a manuscript?
Yeah, send it in.
Let me know.
And the how would you describe, if maybe you could give a brief description of the content of your work, or some of the main themes that you like to write about?
Depends. It depends what the work is. I mean, it depends on the medium, because I use different mediums for different things. In my music, the content can be like purely instrumental, just for fun, for pleasure, for self-expression, but it can also be thematic. I've released albums that were soundtracks to accompany my books. I did a soundtrack for my novel, Cazzarola, Anarchy, Romani, Love, Italy, which was a novel about 130 years in the life of an Italian family and the love story between an Italian guitar player and a Romani, Roma woman, refugee violin player. And that's talking about, you know, contemporary, the whole crisis of refugees in Europe. It was incredible. I mean, I wrote this novel several years ago. Mm-hmm. Started writing it several years ago. It came out in 2013, and it was like, it's more relevant today than it was when I started writing it, in terms of the refugee crisis and what's Europe going to do about it. And I was able to tell this story, trace the roots of fascism and all the xenophobia, and, you know, talk about refugee camps in Italy, like in the middle of Rome, because people didn't realize that actually existed. And it still does. And now these refugee camps have sprung up all over Western Europe. And there are refugees from Eastern Europe and refugees from the Middle East. So I did a soundtrack for that novel. I went to Italy, recorded bands and musicians in Italy, came back here to Montreal, recorded people here, and put together this compilation album of 30 tracks that accompanies the novel. Other books I write, I'm working on a new novel about the Quebec student strike from 2012, the Red Square strike, when people went out in the streets with pots and pans, and we had 100,000, 300,000, 500,000 people in the streets marching, and every night there'd be tens of thousands beating pots and pans, marching all over the city. It was an incredible, incredible historical moment. So I have a novel about that, and I'll be reading extracts from that novel, which is yet to be published. I have poetry books where I deal with contemporary issues, whether we're talking about terrorism or, you know, the housing crisis or environmental issues or sexual politics, the whole Yang Gomeshi thing. Mm. You know, I've for years I've done sex shows, quote unquote, where I dress up as a giant penis or a giant vagina. And I actually have been to UBC several times performing these sex shows. They're anti-sexist, anti-homophobic, queer positive, sex positive sex shows, where I deal with questions of date rape, rape culture, how to prevent violence against women in the GBLTQT community. So, you know, some of my poetry, some of my short stories address questions of sexual politics. In a nutshell.
So, about wrapping up, do you... we're going to mention one more time why you're going to be here in Vancouver next week.
Yep.
Which is the 26th and March 1st, I think you have events, correct?
Yeah. 26th at the Paperhound Bookshop downtown, and March 1st at the Spartacus Bookshop on Findlay.
Mm. Great. And doing some readings, as you said, and then violin loop experiments.
Yeah.
Great. And are there any... final words you wanted to throw out there? Anything else that's coming up for you?
Well, I mean, the most exciting thing that's coming up for me is working on a film script for my novel right now, which will be the novel Cazzarola, the Italian novel. So I'm very excited about that. And there's other music projects as well, like my duo with the piano player. We're going to be working on another new album, the trio band Crocodiles, another new album. And my solo stuff, I have another new album coming. So it's nonstop production, nonstop creativity, nonstop music, and actually nonstop writing as well. So I'm enjoying 2016. I'm enjoying the cold in Montreal. I'm enjoying the snow in Montreal. But I'm also looking forward to coming back to Vancouver because that's my home. And, you know, I miss Vancouver a lot. I miss my old East End. I miss the mountains. I miss the trees. I miss the water. I miss the birds. I miss the people.
FunDrive 2016 has started online. The donation page has officially gone live and is waiting for you. Head on over to citr.ca/donate to help us reach our goal of $40,000 to continue growing our local arts and music scenes in our diverse cultures. By donating, you'll receive awesome CITR prizes like notebooks, swag bags, LPs, and on-air shoutouts. It's all starting now.
Wake up and jam out every Friday morning with your host Austin on Wise Men Radio, airing Fridays 9 to 10.
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
Because
That was the experimental rock group collective known as Filia Motsa, F-I-L-I-A-M-O-T-S-A. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this program is called The Burrow, hosted by myself, Andy Resto, every week, every Monday, 3 to 4 p.m. And Filia Motsa, for this record, they're based out of France, and it brought together a bunch of different musicians, experimental musicians, but the vocalist that you were hearing on that track, which was the opening song to the record called The Little Shop, their record's called Like It Is, was the frontman, lead singer of The X, Dutch rock group The X. His name is G.W. Sock. And if you have been tuned in to this week's episode, then all of the connections would be being made for you. However, if you have not been tuned in, this episode I played an interview that I did with Norman Navrosky, originally of the group Rhythm Activism, Montreal-based group Rhythm Activism. And in the interview, we talked a bit about The X and the relationship of The X and their music with Norman, with Rhythm Activism. I also played a track from The X to open the program. If you missed it, the podcasts will be available, as always, CITR.ca. You can look up this show along with anything else, all the other great content happening here on 101.9 FM on a daily, hourly basis. Thank you to Norman Navrosky for taking the time to do the interview with me, and he's going to be here in Vancouver doing some book readings and violin looping experiments in town at Spartacus Books on March 1st and then February 26th as well. So I should go check him out and see what it is that he has to provide. His new projects, Wild Plains and Crocodile, very, very interesting. I really enjoy the Wild Plains record. So again, thank you to Norman for doing the interview. To wrap things up here, a Little Bit of Soul is up next, as usual, at 4 p.m. This Thursday is a very important date for us here at CITR. It is going to be the start, February 25th at noon on Dunkin's Donuts. It's going to be the start of our annual fundraiser known as Fun Drive. That means all week, starting Thursday, February 25th, until the following Thursday, which is March 3rd, we are going to be asking for your kind donations to help raise, we've set a goal of $40,000 this year to help provide more support for all of the wonderful community projects that we are trying to be a part of here in Vancouver. So that's starting this Thursday, which means next Monday, which is February 29th, this program, The Burrow, will be a Fun Drive special. I'm going to have a couple of prizes myself to give away, including primarily a couple of prize packs, music prize packs donated from record labels, namely, at this point, Constellation Records and Northern Spy Records. So the Northern Spy prize pack will be a vinyl prize pack, and then the Constellation Records pack will be a CD prize pack. And I know many people aren't excited about CDs nowadays, but these are great, great releases that have come out over the last year or so, all of which I've played at points on this program before, including Ought and Jerusalem in My Heart, and this that I'm going to wrap up the show with. So as part of that pack will also be the Colin Stetson and Sarah Neufeld CD that came out last year called Never Were the Way She Was, which I think not only to tie into Fun Drive in next week's program, but I think sonically it fits very well with the rest of the music that I've been playing thus far this week. So we're going to hear some of that, a track called Won't Be a Thing to Become, to get Fun Drive on your mind, to start thinking about what shows you might want to donate to. Going to be plenty of wonderful prizes to be had for a good cause. Also, to wrap up the show, didn't get it as part of the recorded interview, but I asked Norman what a song that he might want to request if he were to get a song on air. And he asked for Mechanormal, the Vancouver group Mechanormal from the mid-90s, old friends of his. And so we're going to play Maisie's Death by Mechanormal, which came out on their 2014 record, Empathy for the Evil. So that's how the Burrow's going to close out this week. Thank you all for listening. Please tune in next week to the Fun Drive episode and to CITR throughout the week starting this Thursday. Call in, say hi, donate $5. It will be a good time and plenty of good things and good times to be had. Of course, I will talk about our finale and whatnot next week in detail. Thank you all for listening. A Little Bit of Soul is on next.
Trying to fill her eyes.